It's good to be back in church tonight, and I'm hoping that the Lord will meet with us in the preaching of the gospel. I prayed that He would, and I know that you prayed with me today that He would do the same. I'm having a wonderful time here, and I'm speaking for my wife that we always enjoy our visits to the Western District. Thank you for another invitation to be the night evangelist at your camp meeting. Now, I didn't hear Brother Coon until today, which none of us did, but I greeted him last night, but I want to respond at least tonight, and probably after tonight, I'll go right into the process of preaching from night to night. But I want to respond tonight to Brother Coon for an outstanding Bible lesson today. And as I sit back and listened and watched him, I thought, why can't I say it like that? Where are you, Brother Coon? I'm looking for you. And I think it was the Lord that said, when you get that old, you'll be able to. Wasn't he good today? Thank God. Oh God, we need you tonight. You blessed us with joy. You blessed us with your presence. We've enjoyed shouting and dancing and speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. We've enjoyed the Word of God. But we need something tonight to get us through the night. And I'm asking for your divine help in this service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I'll begin quickly, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. I was doing some research study not long back, and the more I studied about the life, the ministry of the Lord, I studied with great awe. But then when I went deeper into the events of His final week of life, it dawned on me that the mob that was stirred up into a frenzy did not just want to kill Him. They wanted to hurt Him before they killed Him. And through the course of the preaching tonight, I'm going to make an effort of talking about some of the things that they did to my Lord before He died. And then the Lord expanded my thinking about us in Pentecost in 1995. Why? We would never strike His back with the lictor's lash, would we? No. We would never spike His palms with nails, would we? No, no. And we would never slam a crown of thorns upon His brow, would we? No, wouldn't do that. But if we fall away and renew the works of sin in our life, we do crucify Him afresh. And we bring Him to an open shame. It was one thing for Jesus to be killed almost 2 millenniums ago on the outskirts of Jerusalem. But it's another thing for we who have once tasted the good things of God to crucify Him afresh. Brother Wilson, if God will help me tonight, I'm going to preach the message entitled, How Can Anybody Kill Jesus? How can anybody kill Jesus? Would you pray with me in Jesus' name? You say it with me. How can anyone kill Jesus? You may be seated. Tonight is a special night. I dedicate my preaching to the Lord. And if you are blessed, then I'm happy. But if tonight's preaching does not particularly move you, I'm not certain if there's anything that I have left to give to California. You've blessed me to invite me here for many meetings, and I enjoy every trip. But I purpose that if I would preach an extended meeting like I'm preaching this week, that one night in particular would be dedicated to really lifting Jesus. And I feel like tonight should be one of those special nights that we really should lift Jesus. He's God's arm. He's God's beloved. He's God's Christ. He's God's darling. He's God's elect. He is God's fellow. He's the grace of God. He's God's high priest. He is God's image. He is God's judge. He's the very life of God. Jesus is God's messenger. Jesus is God's only begotten. Jesus really is God's person. Jesus is God's redeemer to the world. Jesus is God's son. Jesus is God's temple. Jesus is God's vessel. Jesus is God's witness. Jesus is angelic. Jesus is more than angelic. Jesus is total divine. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is gracious. Jesus is holy. Jesus is humble. Jesus is just. Jesus is lovely. Jesus is high and lofty. Jesus is lowly. Jesus is precious. Yes, He is. Jesus is pure. Jesus is righteous. Jesus is sinless. Jesus is true. Jesus is undefiled. Jesus is wonderful. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my Rock. He's my shepherd. He's my physician. He's my healer. He's my sanctification. He's my justification. He's my love. He's my counselor. He's my father. He's my brother. He's my friend. He's my helper. He's my keeper. He's my hiding place. He's my resting place. Jesus Christ is the light of heaven that came to the earth. Jesus Christ is the joy of heaven that came to the earth. Jesus Christ is the melody of heaven sung to the earth. Jesus Christ is the harmony of heaven enjoyed by the earth. Jesus is the theme of the heaven. Jesus is the duration of heaven. Jesus Christ is the holy God that became a sinless man. You didn't hear that one. Jesus Christ is the holy God that became a sinless man. Jesus Christ, the master preacher. Jesus Christ, the master teacher. And in awe, I heard soldiers one time say, "Never spake a man like this man spake." His greatest miracle was his life. His life was irreproachable. His ministry was matchless.
His miracles were astonishing. His examples were marvelous. Don't you love him tonight? I'm not going to come and say too much too quick, but if you let me get away with this and not be a hot dog, watch out, devil. We got you tonight, buddy. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We may talk about the power of the devil, but he has no power compared to the power that's in the name of Jesus. Let's shout hallelujah. He never traveled further north than Mount Hermon. He never traveled further south than Egypt. He never traveled further east than the baptismal holes around the river of Jordan, particularly Bethabara. He never traveled further west than the coast of Tyre and Sidon on the Mediterranean Sea coast. But as man, he was limited to his geography. But as God, you can't draw an atlas big enough that can contain him. He never talked on a telephone, but he still speaks to his church today. He never sent a telegram, but he speaks through his prophets today. He never read a newspaper, but he's still the headline of all headlines. He never had his picture taken, but I find his picture from Genesis to Revelation. He never invented anything, but he created all things. You didn't hear me. I said he never invented anything, but he created all things. For by him were all things made. You don't hear me. That are in heaven, that are in earth. Look, friend, I'm not talking about the second person of a triune concept of the Godhead. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's stand and shout praises to the Lord Jesus. It's camp meeting time in California. Hallelujah. It's camp meeting time for the United Pentecostal Church. It's time for our movement to recognize where the power's from. It's time for our movement to understand that in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. Without Him we can do nothing, but with Him we can do all things. He had no home, but he lives in the soul of the church today. He had no place to lay his head, but he's the soft pillow on which the saints of all ages rest their weary heads. He had a tremendous burden for you and I that he could say in principle and in fact that our burden could be light. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus that he might dry our tears when we visit the gloom of the grave. He breaks the fetters of the slave. He takes the heat out of life's fierce fever. He takes the pain out of parting. He takes the gloom out of the grave. He takes the terror out of the tomb. Are you listening to me? He cast the devils out of the Jews' synagogue, and he cast the devils out of the Gadaran cemetery. He could tell the palsy of Capernaum to walk, and he could tell the lame of Bethesda to walk. He still restores the prodigal son. He still pours in the oil, and he still pours in the wine. He still binds every wound, and he still takes care of us. You don't hear me tonight. And he still pays our bill. He still finds the lost coin. He still finds the lost sheep. And I'm glad to tell you that Jesus Christ, who was the same yesterday and today and forever, he's just as much God tonight as he was when he walked on the white-capping waves of the Sea of Galilee. He hasn't changed one bit. He's still the master of every storm. Some of you folks are looking at me quite critically, like you don't believe what I'm saying. I guess one reason I'm on the edge, I've established a dialogue with a very important rabbi in New York City. And just to protect this privacy, I won't give you his name publicly, but I've recently received some tape from him, and he's gone to great extents to prove to me that Jesus cannot be the Messiah, that Jesus is not the fulfillment of the words of the prophets of the Old Testament. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, Jesus is the Anointed One. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. I say Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm not going to apologize for what I'm preaching. Jesus is not a part of the Trinity, but Jesus is God, the living God, the true God, the only God, and beside Him there is no other. Hallelujah! Let us shout. We got all night, don't we? As far as I know, Jesus never wrote a song. But there's been more songs written about Him and sung about Him than anybody that's ever lived. As far as I know, Jesus never wrote a book. But there's been more libraries written about Him and about His life and His works than any man that ever lived. I'm glad to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ can be found in Genesis chapter 1 and the last chapter of the book of Revelation. He's the Creator of Genesis. He's the Passover Lamb of Exodus. He's the High Priest of Leviticus. He's the Statistician of Numbers. He's the Royal Law of Deuteronomy. He's the Commander of Joshua. He's the Judge of Judges. He's the Near Kinsman of Ruth. He's the Prophet Seer of the Samuels. He's the Monarch of the Kings. He's the Record Keeper of the Chronicles. He's the Restoration of Ezra. He's the Wall Builder of Nehemiah. He's the hope of Esther. He's the patience of Job. He's the song in Psalms, the wisdom in Proverbs, the melody in the Song of Solomon, the fulfillment of the prophets. He's the King of Matthew. He's the servant of Mark. He's the man of Luke. He's the vine of John. He's the revival of Acts. He's the high intellect of the Pauline epistles. He's the interesting one of the general epistles. He's the eternal millennial of the book of Revelation. Now with all that said, I feel Him right now. He's in this tabernacle tonight. Devil came back to me this afternoon in the hotel. And he said, you might take care tonight, because if you preach this the way you feel like you're going to preach it, you may get some of the glory. And so I pondered that when the devil kindly whispered those words to me. And I got not on my knees, but I laid my 200 plus pound frame body on the carpet of that room that I'm studying in. And I said, God, what I say tonight is not for the glory of this camp meeting. It's not the glory of this preacher. But what I say tonight is for Your glory. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Me. I know He was talking about being lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. But I still think it's in order to clap our hands and lift Him up. I still think it's in order to lift our voices and lift Him up. I still think it's in order to shout with the voice of triumph. Ladies and gentlemen, when the church was born, it came with the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And the church has always been alive. The church has always been vibrant. We'll have power if we are magnified, Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. I wonder how anybody could kill Jesus. For the architect, He's the chief cornerstone. For the baker, He's the bread of life. For the banker, He's the priceless possession. For the biologist, he is really the beginning of life. For the builder, he's the sure foundation. For the carpenter, he's the door. For the doctor, he's the great physician. For the educator, he's the master teacher. For the engineer, he's really the true way. For the farmer, he's the sower, and he's the seed, and he's the harvest. For the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley in one beautiful bouquet. For the geologist, he's the rock of ages. For the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. For the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. For the attorney, he's the advocate. For the philosopher, he's the wisdom. For the sculptor, he's the living stone. For the professor, he's the greatest lesson ever taught. For the student, he's the greatest lesson ever learned. You don't hear me? For the blind, he's sight. For the deaf, he is sound. For the leper, he is cleansing. For the disease, he's the remedy. For the hurting, he's the balm of Gilead. For the sick, he's the prescription. For the crippled, he's corrective therapy. For the living, he is the Lord. For the dead, he's the resurrection. For the military, he's the commander. For the battle, he's your sword. For your storm, he's the calm. For the hungry, he's your food. For the thirsty, he's your drink. For the homeless, he's your shelter. For the naked, he's your garment. For the master, he's a servant. For the servant, he's a master. For the intellect, he's a genius. For the illiterate, he is simple. For the jailer, he's security. For the prisoner, he is freedom. He's anything. He's everything. He's all things. Do not diminish from the power of Jesus. The Lord got a hold to me a few days ago in preparation. And I let my pen do the writing and the Holy Ghost do the talking. As the infant of days, he was born in the shepherd's village of Bethlehem. But as the ancient of days, he's eternal in the heavens. As the infant of days, he was worshipped by wise men. But as the ancient of days, the four beasts around about the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. Somebody say, holy. Somebody say, holy. My God, I feel him tonight. I said, as the infant of days, he was born in Bethlehem. As the ancient of days, he's on the throne of glory. As the infant of days, he was worshipped by wise men. As the ancient of days, he's worshipped by the four beasts. As the infant of days, he lay in a manger. As the ancient of days, he sits upon the throne. As the infant of days, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But when John looked and saw one walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, his face was like the sun that would shine in its brilliance. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Hallelujah. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. He held in his hand the seven stars. He was clothed with a garment down to the foot with a golden girdle about the paps. His feet were like fire that burned in a furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, if preaching about Jesus don't touch your Holy Ghost, there's nothing that can. As the infant of days, he was the Son of Man. As the ancient of days, he was the Son of God. As the infant of days, Brother Underwood, he was the Lamb of God. As the ancient of days, he's the good and eternal shepherd. As the Infant of Days, he was dedicated in the temple. As the Ancient of Days, it was his Shekinah glory that filled the holiest of holies. As the Infant of Days, doves and pigeons were offered for him on the day of his circumcision and dedication. But as the Ancient of Days, he gave himself. As the Infant of Days, the aged Simeon held him in his grasp. But as the Ancient of Days, he held the old man in the palm of his hand. As the Infant of Days, the old Anna spoke of him. But as the Ancient of Days, he spoke through Anna. Ladies and gentlemen, as the Infant of Days, he was confined to space. But as the Ancient of Days, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And I don't want everybody to come up here one time, but if you can't feel him back there in the audience, why don't you skip up here just a moment? I feel him. It's like fire set up in my bones. Hallelujah. How could somebody kill a man like Jesus? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answers for the Western District. I don't have the answers for all of your problems, Pastor. I'm not a man yet of 50 years old, believe it or not. I don't have the answer. But one thing I know, when the enemy comes against me like a flood, if I'll just preach Jesus. When I feel the onslaught of the devil and his demons, if I'll just preach Jesus. When cancer says no, if I'll just preach Jesus. When coronary says no, I'll just preach Jesus. Diabetes says no, but I'll still preach Jesus. Arthritis and Alzheimer's says no, but I'll still preach Jesus. Rheumatism says no, but I'll still preach Jesus. Palsy, polio, paralysis says no, but I'll still preach Jesus. The world says the day of revival is over, but I'll still preach Jesus. The world says the days of miracles are over, but I'll still preach Jesus. If I missed your sickness, then I'll catch it in a few minutes, I promise you. Architects the world over try to build cathedrals worthy of him, but they fall far short of their purpose. Painters compete with painters to try to artistically paint pictures beautiful enough for him, but they can't do it. Sculptors cannot find marble white enough worthy of his forehead. Writers with words dropping from their pens like honey falling from the beehive try to describe him, but they can't do it. Orators and the eloquent speakers of our movement and religion in general, they try to speak words worthy of him, but I haven't found an adjective yet. I haven't found a description yet. Well, let me just preach it down south style, Brother Cocoon. We'll do it this way. I can't find the words to describe him. All I can do is borrow the words that were said about King Solomon, but a greater than Solomon is here. The half has never yet been told. I want to say this in the Holy Ghost. The greatest revival has not been had. The greatest miracles have not been seen. The greatest moves of God is not history. I'm not living in Pentecost past, but I'm pressing on to a great move of God. Jesus promised it. The devil can't block it. It belongs to the church. Why would anybody want to kill him? It's beyond me. I don't know. Without Jesus, the past is truly a cruel nightmare. Without Jesus, the present is a perplexing torment. Without Jesus, the future is a depressing catastrophe. Friend, it gives me a moment of pulpit distinction in my 3 decades of public preaching to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is still the outstanding miracle of the ages. That deserved a better applause than that. Jesus Christ is literature's loftiest ideal. Jesus Christ is philosophy's highest personality. Jesus Christ is theology's fundamental doctrine. Jesus Christ is religion's cardinal necessity. Man, I'm feeling it more as I go. It ain't no telling what I'm going to do here in a few minutes. I feel it tonight, honey. I feel it tonight. I fought that devil last night. He put a spirit of sickness on me as I was trying to preach, but I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. And if you want to sit there and yawn in the face of God, take a good nap. If you want to sit there and cross your arms and cross your legs, that's fine. But I've come to praise God. When I was a nobody, He made something out of me. When I had nothing, He gave me heaven's best. And you want me to come up here and to strut and to put on a show? I've come to tell you, friend, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm doing my best to be dignified, but I'm losing it. I feel it. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. My name is in the book of life. Yeah. Come on, we got a few minutes. Do it. We got a few minutes. Do it. Why would anybody want to kill Jesus? I don't know. I just don't know. Jesus Christ is the standard of measurements. Jesus Christ is the scale of weights. Jesus Christ is the moral fiber for the universe. Jesus Christ is the basic theme of every book in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the basic theme of every chapter in the Bible. Jesus, you don't hear me. I said, you don't hear me. I've already took you from generation to revolution, friend. I mean, Genesis to Revelation. He's everywhere in the Word of God. You can't take Him out of it. My God. Jesus Christ is the song for all choirs. Jesus Christ is the music for every orchestra. Jesus Christ is heaven's alabaster box. When He was broken at Calvary, His holy potpourri spread around the world like the world has never seen before in the love of God. Jesus Christ is the supreme fact of creation, the supreme fact of life, the supreme fact of death. He's history, He's current events, and He's prophecy. Taking Jesus out of history is like taking matter out of physics. Taking Jesus out of current events is like taking the fragrance out of the flower. Taking Jesus out of prophecy is like taking numbers out of mathematics. He's the brilliance of a noonday sun. He's the soft glow of a harvest moon. He's the twinkle of a nighttime star. He's the chill of a winter snow. He's the freshness of a summer rain. Hallelujah! He's everything, friend. He's everything. Science can do a lot, and I want to tilt my proverbial hat to what science has done and what science is doing. But don't you ever make the fatal mistake of comparing science to God. What you see is what you get, friend. I ain't crying out for a camp meeting either. Don't you make the fatal mistake of comparing science to God. science can take a microscope and observe worlds in one drop of water. Science can take a telescope and view the extravaganzas of outer space. Science can calculate the sweltering temperature on the fried crust of the planet Mercury. Science can calculate the frozen temperatures on the frozen crust of planet Pluto. Science can calculate within 100,000 the number of particles that circle the planet Saturn. Science can take a spectrograph and discover the copper underneath the surface of Mars. With a spectrograph, science can talk about the gold in the sun, and with a spectrograph, science can talk about the ore on the moons of Jupiter. But science can't wipe away the tears from your eyes. Science can't forgive you of your sins. Science can't mend broken hearts. Man, if you ain't enjoying, that's your problem. I'm having a time tonight. Science can't mend broken hearts. Science cannot take the fear out of a funeral. Science cannot take the dread out of death. Science cannot take the terror out of the tomb. Science cannot take the stinger out of death. Science cannot take the victory out of the grave. But it gives me a moment of honor tonight to introduce to you that one can do it all. Jesus can wipe away that tear. Jesus can mend your broken heart. Jesus can do it all. Science can talk to you about prehistoric fossils. I said science can talk to you about prehistoric fossils, but science stands speechless when we talk to science about the resurrection of the dead. Science can remove stain from silk, but science cannot remove the stain of sin from the soul of man. Science can eliminate sicknesses and plagues, but science cannot eliminate the epidemic of sin. Science can blast a man into orbit and sail him around the earth at 125 miles high at 17,000 miles per hour. But let me tell you what Jesus is going to do. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 15. It won't take a rocket scientist to do it, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Geologists have studied rocks and their formations for years, but geologists have never discovered what you know. Christ is the bright and the morning star. Botany has mastered the study of vegetation, but what they don't know, that Jesus Christ is the root of David, the lily of the valley, and the rose of Sharon. English grammar experts can speak perfect pronunciation and articulation. They don't get their pronouns and prepositions, adjectives and adverbs crossed up. But what the experts of grammar has never understood, that Jesus Christ is a word that has fitly spoken, like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. He's the answer for every problem. He's the solving of every disease. You don't believe that, do you? But I'm telling you, it don't come too hard for Jesus to take care of. Well, Brother Price, they gave me 35 minutes. I guess they're finished. Sorry, I'm not. I told you a moment ago that if I missed you, I'd catch you in a few minutes. I'm going to say it just because I want to say it. He's the answer for Alzheimer's, and He's the answer for arthritis. I don't know who that man was back there a while ago, but I got to preaching a moment ago and one of you brethren hopped up and you got to turning circles and a shouting when I got to talking about Jesus healing every sickness. Where is the preaching? Where are the evangelists that will preach that Jesus can still heal today? Can you hear me on the back there? Brother Wilson, would you do me a favor, sir, and tell your wife that when I just made that statement, I felt an attack against my faith. And as I was preaching to you with a sweaty brow, the tempter came and said, how can you say that when just 3 years and 3 months ago you lost your 20-year-old daughter? Why couldn't you pray the prayer of faith then? I want to say something for the devil and to him right now. Just because my daughter didn't survive, that don't change it, buddy. Jesus is still the healer. If you've been preaching healing and they're still sick, keep preaching healing. If you're preaching a revival and you're not having a revival, keep preaching revival. This is no time to quit. This is no time to retreat. This is no time to surrender. Jesus is on my side. And if God be for us, low blood pressure, high blood pressure, no problem for Jesus. Cancer, diabetes, emphysema, encephalitis, no problem for Jesus. Fever, gout, Hodgkin's, jaundice, lupus, meningitis, no problem for Jesus. Nervous breakdowns, no problem for Jesus. Blame the district board. They invited me. But I'm here to tell the Western District that Jesus Christ is still in charge of the affairs of mankind. Parkinson, palsy, polio, paralysis, rheumatism, psoriasis, cirrhosis, sclerosis, tuberculosis, nothing for Jesus. He can do it, friend. Don't you try to picture to me that Jesus is upstairs somewhere walking and wringing his hands and worried to death about what the devil's doing. Come on, get alive, man. Get alive. He's in charge. Jesus Christ, as far as I know, visited the cemetery 3 times. The first time he went to the cemetery, he was greeted with a welcome wagon of legions of devils in the cemetery of Gadara. But before he left that cemetery, the man that once was bound was clothed and in his right mind. The second time that Jesus went to the cemetery was after his friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He was brain dead. He was clinically dead. He was physically dead. His heart wasn't pumping. His pulse was not found. His lungs were not breathing. His blood had congealed in his veins. But when Jesus challenged somebody to roll the stone away, I've got to see Jesus and Lazarus walking arm in arm away from the cemetery. The next time that Jesus went to the cemetery was when they buried Him in a borrowed tomb. Don't come to me that the first person resurrected the second person. For Jesus said in John 2:19, destroy this body and in 3 days I... Simply put, He's the resurrection. He's the resurrection. I don't want to come across too hard. I have no pulpit snarls. But my God, I wish there'd be a resurrection of Holy Ghost worship in Pentecost. I wish there'd be a resurrection of Holy Ghost prayer in Pentecost. I wish there'd be a resurrection of Holy Ghost preaching in Pentecost. This is no time for dead church. This is no time for formality. This is no time for ceremony. My God, folks, I said, my God, folks. How can anybody kill Him? They didn't want to just kill Him. They wanted to hurt Him. And for all that He did, all He performed, religiosity had the multitude stirred to a frenzy of execution. And a few heartbeats, a few breaths ago, they cheered Him into the city of Jerusalem to the top of their lungs, screaming, Hosanna in the highest. A few heartbeats later, you think that's something. It never ceases to amaze me how we can come to church and shout and run, talk in tongues. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. It never ceases to amaze me how we can come to church and put on our Pharisaical piousness and wrap our regal robes of religiosity around us. But when we get by ourselves and nobody knows it and nobody sees it, we're living the other person that's in us. Friend, I'm talking about a life that is constant. I'm talking about a life that is consistent. I'm talking about a life that is dedicated. If you're going to shout tonight, why don't you shout tomorrow? If you're going to live for God tonight, live for God tomorrow. This ain't no time to quit. Words fail me to be able to articulate the agony of Jesus. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But with your permission and with a luxurious moment of your time, I'll talk about what they did to a man called Jesus. Prophetically, Isaiah said in the 53rd bracket of his writings, he was afflicted, a man of sorrows, and a man that was acquainted with grief. He was betrayed, and he was bruised. He was chastened, and he was condemned. He was crowned with thorns, and he was crucified. He was despised, and he was forsaken. He was grieved, and he was hated. He was laughed at. He was mocked, and he made his grave with the wicked. He made intercession for the transgressor, and he was numbered with the transgressor. He was oppressed, he was persecuted, and he was pierced. He was rejected, and he was reviled. He was spit on, he was smitten, and he was sacrificed. He was tempted, and he was tried. He was whipped, and he was wounded. Why take so much time tonight to preach about this? Because one third of the book of Matthew is dedicated to the last 7 days of Jesus. Two fifths of the book of Mark is dedicated to the last 7 days of Jesus. 25% of the book of Luke is dedicated to the last 7 days of Jesus. 40% of the book of John speaks of the death and the last few days of his life. His death was initial. His death was official. His death was judicial. His death was sacrificial. Initial because in his death the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Official because he was the substitute for all sinners everywhere. Judicial because he died a judgment death for others. Sacrificial because the just died for the unjust. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ did not die die for you accidentally. Jesus Christ did not die for you incidentally, but Jesus Christ died for you deliberately. His death on the cross became the collateral for your sins and for mine. He died once that I that was born first could be born again of water and of the Spirit. I'm here tonight not because of what I am, but because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Down from heaven's excellences to earth's executions. Down from heaven's hallelujahs to earth's hisses. Down from heaven's joys to earth's jeers. Down from heaven's majesties to earth's miseries. Down from heaven's praises to earth's persecutions. Down from heaven's throne to the earth's tomb. Down from heaven's worship to earth's wrath. But at the cross, the history of human guilt is culminated. At the cross, the purpose of divine love is emancipated. At the cross, Satan's armor is removed. At the cross, condemnation is lifted. At the cross, the world's charm loses its hold. At the cross, the bitters of life are made sweet. At the cross, the serpent's head is bruised. At the cross, the shadows of death are removed. At the cross, the fountain of salvation flows. At the cross, the wrath of God falls upon sin. At the cross, at the cross. Thought I heard you preach on that the last time I heard you preach, Brother Odom. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The contrast of His birth and His death are awesome. At Bethlehem's birth, the angels appeared. At Calvary's cross, the angels were absent. At Bethlehem's birth, the shepherds thrilled. At Calvary's cross, His disciples trembled. At Bethlehem's birth, heaven's choir did sing. At Calvary's cross, there was no anthem. At Bethlehem's birth, there was a bright star in the night. At Calvary's cross, there was an equitable darkness at noonday. The cross, the cross, the cross. At the cross, Sharon's rose was trampled. At the cross, the lily of the valley was crushed to dirt. At the cross, the disciples' voices were muffled sobs. At the cross, the shepherd was snatched from the sheep. At the cross, the Samaritan was taken from his compassion. At the cross, the master was taken from his ministry. An eclipse like this one on noonday of the death of Jesus, never seen before, because at noonday, the sun refused to shine. At noonday, the air shivered with an unfamiliar chill. At noonday, on death day, while Jesus was on the cross, the earth shook and it twisted on its axis in a fit of astonishment that a love so sweet and a love so pure would collide with a doom so dreadful. Earth has never seen a darker day nor committed a greater sin. History has no blacker page. Humanity has no greater indictment than the cross of Jesus Christ. Put me on the next plane to New Orleans and I'll pick up my little vehicle and drive to Hattiesburg. But I want every one of you hear me. Don't walk into this camp meeting tabernacle like you're God's gift to the Pentecostal church. Where did we learn this air? Where did we get this arrogance? Where did we develop this pride that is among us? God is my judge and God is my jury. I stand without an attorney to plead my case in His presence. And I'm not saying this for anyone to jump and run. But lady, you're not too pretty to shout those bobby pins out of your hair. sir, you're not too good looking that you can have a holy roller spell every now and then. But we've learned to do it better. We've arrived. We're no longer on the other side of the tracks. Honey, I've come to tell you tonight, we're what we are, not because of intellect, not because of education. Count your degrees, count your diplomas, count your certificates, but that didn't bring us to this point. But we're what we are tonight, because on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Would everyone say, Hail Jesus! Hail Jesus! Like all hail the power of Jesus' name. Would everyone say, Hail Jesus! King of kings he is. But as king, his only scepter was a mere reed. As a king, his only crown was lace thorns. As a king, his only coronation was spit flung through sneering lips and ran down his body. As a king, his only throne was a brutal cross. As a king, his only royal emblem were lictor's lashes that made his back mincemeat. As a king, his only inaugural address was a confession. I thirst. Sister Odom will know this more than anyone else. She's the one that takes care of me on nights like tonight when I stagger back to a room. I've probably sweated out anywhere from 5 to 8 pounds already. I'm just telling you, it's hot up here and that's the way I want it. But once I heard him say, if any man drink of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst again. And now he who claimed to be the water of life, I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. Once he claimed, I am the light of the world. But such gross darkness at noonday on a phenomenal eclipse, and there was no light to shine. His only coronation court were two thieves, one on either side. His only royal wardrobe was a purple robe. His only kingly cup was when the Roman soldier chamberlain marinated, saturated a sponge and pressed it to his mouth, and the sponge was dripping with vinegar. Midnight came at noonday, the bright and morning star dimmed. The light of the world hung in darkness. Spikes stapled Jesus to his deathbed. And I asked, how can anybody kill Jesus? A throbbing headache, scalding fever for multiple wounds. This was no time for personal hygiene. While on the cross, mucus and phlegm ran from his nose and from his mouth. Waves of nausea ran through his belly, spraying his vomit upon his own chest. His blood oozing from his wounds. His blood oozing from his mouth. His blood oozing from his nose. His blood oozing from his ears. His blood oozing from his eyes. And you want to come to camp meeting and strut? That's funny. A ruptured appendix, a ruptured spleen, bursted intestines, ruptured liver, a broken heart, uncontrollable kidneys with his own urine spilling and mingling with his own blood, uncontrollable bowels and his own human feces running upon his body. How can anybody do that to Jesus? I don't know. That's not the question tonight. The question is this. How can you be half in and half out? How can you live for God on Sunday and live for the devil during the week? How can you dance to the old gospel songs on Sunday and get out when the pastor's not looking and twist your body with the country western hard rock music? I don't understand that. How can you praise God on Sunday and then tell dirty jokes Monday through Saturday? I don't understand that. How can you read the Word of God on Sunday and look at dirty pictures Monday through Saturday? I don't understand that. How can anybody kill Jesus? Why? We'd never kill Him the way they did. Never. But I submit to you tonight for your consideration, our divisions kill His purpose. Our dissensions kills His purpose. Our feuds kills His purpose. Our fussing kills His purpose. Our carnality kills His purpose. Our offenses kills His purpose. Our conservative self-righteousness kills His purpose. Our liberalness kills His purpose. Cross. Just a moment. I want to make an announcement. Brother Price, I'm going to try to preach the next three nights, but I've laid it on the pulpit tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night. Hopefully my voice will be okay. So with that statement in mind, this ain't much singing, so don't listen to it on my part. But I want to sing it for Jesus. At the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, you just don't know how burdened I really was, and the burdens of my heart. It was there by faith. Friends, the devil did not want me to expose him last night. But equally as much, he does not want me preaching the cross tonight. Your answer's in the cross. Your answer's in the cross. Your answer's in the cross. The cross. Where was I at? It was there, my Lord. I received my sight. There's sin in your life. If there's sin in your life, Holy Ghost, would you bring a spirit of conviction in this room? Would you let somebody get under conviction because of their haphazard way of living for God. Holy Ghost, would you let somebody get under conviction because of not being what they're supposed to be with their pastor? Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trust at last lay down. I will District Board, I'm begging you, if you ever see this Mississippian putting down his cross, get a hold of me. District Board, if you ever see me compromising, get a hold of me. District Board, if you ever see me going worldly, get a hold of me. District Board, bishops, if you ever see me turning loose of the cross, get a hold of me. Get a hold of me. The cross. The cross. How can anybody kill Jesus? Father. Oh, there's nothing in this world worth reaching for. Hold on to that cross. Cling to that cross tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every answer is there for you. Hallelujah. It's right on fire. It's not too late.